Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 440. In this episode of Hansel Minutia, Scott talks with Richard Campbell about the Apple iPhone 6 and the Apple Watch announcements.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, except this one is broadcast live here with my friend, my favorite Canadian, Richard Campbell. How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I am lovely. I am lovely. So I just finished watching the Apple live stream of their iEverything event. Did you see that?
Yes, we were both watching it, and I realized, because we had planned on doing a Hansel Minutia anyway, and then as soon as I saw the live stream, started watching it, I thought, you know, this is going to be the show.
Yeah, we basically now have
what
to
are
talk
you going
to
do? Yeah. Well, and actually, the whole keynote was really interesting. It was the first time they've said the whole, oh, and one more thing since Jobs passed. So it's starting to feel like Cook's company.
You know, and I thought it was extremely polished. I mean, there were a couple parts that were a little rough. I thought that the watch demonstrator guy took a lot of energy and brought the whole thing down.
Oh, brought it way down, yeah. And the crazy part is that's the new UI. Like, I was blown away by how well they've thought about the UI. It should have been the most interesting part.
Yeah, exactly. He just didn't have that energy. So that was a bit of a downer. And then while Tim Cook was super cool for most of the talk, then you put a really actual cool person in front of him.
I love it. Yeah, two awkward dads. It was terrifying.
Tim Cook by himself.
He's fine.
Extremely cool.
Yeah.
Next to you, next to Bono. I mean, you're just like, hi, Bono. I mean, it was extremely uncomfortable. So well, I felt that first two-thirds was just perfect. The last part was a little bit like...
Now, the stream was kind of a disaster itself.
Yeah, there were some live streaming problems. I tried it with VLC. I had my iPad here as well. So I was doing the hacked on the PC version. I was doing the iPad version on my phone. There was a background translator in Chinese.
Yep, a Mandarin translator for the first half an hour.
For the first half an hour. That was for their workers, their oppressed workers.
Right. And I think I realized as I turned it on early that there were two music tracks playing before the thing started. So I think they had the problem right from the outset.
Right, because they have music coming from both tracks. So it's funny that you mentioned that because a number of people tweeted about that.
Yeah, why is there two music tracks? And then when the Mandarin started, I'm like, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would argue, you know, because I have the audio engineering background, the audio engineer botched a lot of things. You know, once you've done that work, you only hear mistakes. He was late on a bunch of mics. He was late on some rebalancing. Like it just, he was late on Bono's mic. Bono talked for 45 seconds with his mic off.
Well, I think, and in fact, his mic was on I'm singing like Bono mode.
Right.
Deep echo and resonant version. And then they had to switch it into normal speaking voice mode or something. I don't know what the deal is. It does make me, but again, we don't watch these things for their audio
nor
for their live stream value. We watch them because we want to see one more thing. So two interesting things happened.
Mm-hmm.
First was the phone, the iPhone 6, which we all knew was coming.
Yeah.
But what I think is interesting, what I want to talk to you about is the size issue. Because I've got an iPhone 5 right there. That's my iPhone.
Right.
Mike with my lovely, let's see if I can get that to focus. There you go. Now, I went to Ars Technica, who I love, and they made a PDF, which I was actually in the middle of doing, and they beat me to it.
Nice.
And I printed out sizes of the new iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, which is the new Windows 95 naming style.
Right. Yes.
It is the Plus pack. Okay, so here's the 5S. Here's the 6. And here's the 6 Plus.
Now, admittedly, I mean, the 5 is a really small phone compared to virtually every phone out there today.
But hang on. So I was talking to people on Twitter, and I said, hey, it's just not that big of a deal. You know, it's a little bit bigger than a 5.
Right.
They said, I didn't get the 5. I like the size of the 4. Here's an iPod Touch circa 3GS style.
Right.
So if you look at this, still. Right, take this guy here, and then let's put him next to the 6 Plus. So this is effectively the 3GS.
Yeah.
The entire thing fits in the screen size of the 6 Plus. So this is the 6 Plus in your hand, okay?
Yep.
But I didn't think that maybe that was enough. So what I did is I went and I got a Nokia 1520.
Okay, that's the giant
right.
Nokia phone.
This is a great phone because I actually was mugged and I beat a man to death.
The 920 is a better beat to death phone. It's not as big, but it's harder.
This isn't as heavy as the 920. Yeah.
Okay, the 920 is actually heavier.
This
but
is
yeah, the 5020 is huge.
This is really interesting, though. Here's a 6 Plus.
Right.
Next to a 1520. So you could actually go and try these different things out.
Yeah.
6 Plus is a little smaller than the 1520.
Okay.
I find the 1520 still fits in my back pocket.
Yes.
So I think back pocket ability is still a possibility here.
Well, and I do appreciate the idea that they only started making bigger iPhones once they had the watch, so you didn't have to take the phone out of your pocket anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So here is 1520. iPhone, 5S, 6 Plus, and 6, all next to each other.
Nice.
And then effectively a 3GS in front.
Yeah.
So seriously, if you can't find a phone that's the size that you want out in there in the market, you have a problem.
Yes.
The question
is you.
Do I want a phone this big? Do I want an iPad mini phone? You know what I mean?
And the thing that I appreciate about the 1520, and I don't have one. I have a 925. I was trying to get the wife to get one, actually. She has a 920, and she's ready for a new phone. Is she struggles with battery constantly because she's not super disciplined on charging batteries all the time. And the 1520 is good for a couple of days. I would have hoped that those new iPhones would be good for a couple of days, but they made them so thin. I don't think the battery life's any better.
Well, you know, so there's this TV show that I love to watch with Halle Berry that's called Extant.
Yes.
Right? Okay, she's in space and she's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just great. It's just,
and she's pregnant. And
yeah, it's an excuse for me to watch Halle Berry for an hour every week, and then there's aliens. They effectively have iPhones on the show.
Right.
But they're as thin as paper. like wax. It looks like wax paper, and they're kind of see-through, and they light up, and they kind of glow. And it's like looking at an iPhone in 2025.
Right.
The question is, when it gets thinner, which this one apparently has, does it still have that sense of structure? Because you got to really give, you know, phones like this credit. They feel like they are not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're sturdy.
Yeah. I mean, even if I take, you know, any modern phone, I would say, although I think the Galaxy series is a little rough, even a 1520, it doesn't torque. Like if you take it like an ice tray and you torque it, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't twist.
Indeed. And older phones with plastic backs definitely have that feeling. But can they make it thinner? But it's still, I like a heavier phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want some.
Well, I think that we've hit this point now where phones are getting too light. I even think the 1520 is a little disturbingly light for its size.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It's funny that you mentioned that. The 1520 compared to an iPhone is about the same weight. And that's weird because when you pick it
deep
up.
Deep down, like, you want that phone to be heavier. It seems not real.
Yeah, it actually does. So I actually have the additional cover in order to give it some gravitas.
Yeah, a little
now,
gravity to it.
Here is the 5 next to the 6.
All right.
It's subtle.
It's
subtle.
Just a little bit bigger. Yeah.
That's your 4.7-inch screen.
Yeah.
Why do you think they have such a gentle gradient? Why not just have 2?
Yeah, why not just all go all plus? Yeah, I think they needed to make a slightly bigger phone. Apple's almost ununderstandable at times. They are very careful with the rate of change that they do with their things. And I want to believe that it's all intentional, but sometimes I think it's what it is. the resolutions are higher on these new screens. The DPI is insane. Isn't the 6 Plus over 400 DPI on a 1080p screen? That's so crazy high.
If we take, this is a 1620, a 1520 Lumia. Right. This is an iPhone 6 Plus.
Right.
They are both 1080p.
Yes.
So these are 3 and 400 or 350 and 400 PPI.
Yeah.
This is like, they called it Retina Plus. This is like I said on Twitter, it's got more pixels than I have neurons, effectively.
Yes. Yeah. Your eyes can't see that.
Can't pick these up. That's how many there are.
You're going to end up holding it closer to your face, and it's not just because your focus isn't working that well.
Well, and here's the thing. People are talking about how, you know, not every game on the Xbox and not every game on the PS4 run at 1080p.
Mm-hmm.
Games on these run at 1080p. Why is my phone running a 1080p game and my next generation console isn't?
Well, and we're going to start limiting the capabilities of these games because we just can't render fast enough. You know, GPUs are only so fast.
Yeah. Well, and certainly, of course, and even in the impressive demo that we saw them doing, it's not exactly next generation, you know, graphics. It's limited.
No.
It was pretty impressive.
But it was still cartoony graphics. There was some nice shading effects and so forth, but they aren't pushing the resolution. They're not moving huge numbers of pixels.
Well, yeah, like I don't know if you saw that BioShock is out for the iPhone now.
No, that's amazing.
It is amazing, but if you go around and Google with Bing, I believe BioShock came out in 2007.
Yep, it's not that new.
Then it's like, well, wait a second. That's not as fancy as we thought it was, but it's hella impressive.
Well, it speaks to the, you know, Moore's law still applies, right? Hardware densities are continuing to grow.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going towards an environment where it's about the number of cores on a machine as more than it is gigahertz. Like everything's been at 3 gigahertz for a while.
Yeah.
While the new stuff that they just announced last week will go to 4. For consumers, it doesn't really matter. It's about, can I have 16 processors or, you know,
Yeah, because marketing needs to sell something, a number that people feel superior with.
Well, everyone, I think, and I was working at Intel in the early 90s as a consultant when they were doing, trying to get webcam, doing what we're doing right now, HD web. They were trying to get that at, like, you know, postage stamp size. And the argument was, if it's a must-have feature, then we're going to need the processors for it. Therefore, people will sell it. So there's a whole bunch of people at Intel whose job it is to figure out, how can we use more CPU power?
Right.
While doing Word.
Yes.
I think that brings me to the watch announcements, which is really interesting because it is really a companion to the phone. I got the impression, and I'm sure you did as well, that the phone's doing a lot of the work. When you talk to Siri, I did not get the impression, and this is pure speculation, that you go, hello, Siri, give me directions to whatever. Certainly, we know the watch has no internet connectivity.
And just to be clear, you have a Pebble in your hand, right? You don't have an inside track.
I have the original iWatch.
Oh.
What is this watch here? Recognize that?
That's an iPod Nano with
It's an iPod Nano inside.
Nice.
Huh?
Yeah, with the case.
Inside of the case. That's a Kickstarter case there. This watch, I wore this watch for a year. This is a lovely, lovely watch.
And that's what, that actually inspired the Pebble, which one could argue inspired Apple, although let's face it, Apple took this to a whole other level. I am very impressed with what they packed into that watch.
I totally agree. I think the thing that was the most impressive, and I was talking to my buddy at the same time, is that, hey, there's a watch. That would have been impressive.
Yep.
If they had come out with a watch that looked like this, it would have been, okay, I'm a geek. I have a watch on my wrist, but I'd still be impressed.
Yep.
But then 3 finishes, X number of cases. It basically didn't say, here's a smartwatch. It said,
no.
We are a smartwatch manufacturer, bow before us.
Well, and that's always been Apple's way, right? You can have any kind of iPhone you want as long as it's this one, right? And then they went, you know, okay, in the 5, they finally went to some colors and a couple of case variations. But the diversity on the watch is astonishing. Oh, and notice it's not an iWatch. What's up with that?
I think it's because iWatch is creepy, given the whole NSA thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to watch. So Apple Watch is cool. So I brought out, I'm a watch guy.
Yep.
And I have a whole pile of watches, in a box. Like I'm one of the people who has a wooden box with watches in the box. And these are not my most attractive watches, but I thought I'd bring them out just to give you a sense of what diversity in watch work has. I have some automatics upstairs I didn't bring down. But here is the theoretical Apple Watch. You know, these are these are big watches, but they are watches that are all appropriately sized. I was also very impressed that there is a smaller Apple Watch for the ladies or for the slighter of build. I know that my buddy Chris Sells likes a big watch. He's one of those guys that has a watch like a bouncer would use just to thwack somebody. That's a new Fossil that is quite a bit larger in the face than this Movado over here. This watch here is a $400 watch, but has a rubber
band
strap.
On it.
There's a whole new class of watch out there that are $300, $400, $500 watches that don't look like your classical, you know, old person in a suit type watch. Which brings me to the pricing, $349. What did you think about that? And they said starting at so it's unclear. Which, I assume that's the sport watch version.
Yeah, the aluminum chassis with the glass face and the plastic band, like all cheap as possible. I think it's going to be a $600 or $700 when you get to the elegant versions.
And is that because it's going to be $500-$600 for sapphire crystals and
sapphire is definitely more. But gold casing on the elegant one, that's 18 karat gold, a funny alloy, which means they got to make that en masse, and definitely more expensive bands.
See, gold on a watch like that, I think the number one thing that I'm going to want is a watch that is reliable and durable.
Yeah. Well, and the whole point of this product is to wear it all the time. That, to me, is the interesting side of it. They never said the word wearables once, and I get that. But the bottom line is this is more instrumentation for your body, and you want it on all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing here is that I'm a Fitbit guy. You have a Fitbit?
I am. I use a One. I'm trying one more knob just to see if that makes any difference.
Okay, so the Fitbit One is the one that you clip on your pants or your belt?
Yeah, it's in my little coin pocket in my jeans.
Okay, so I've got a Flex, and I have lost 3 Fitbit Forces. So if you find a Fitbit Force anywhere in New York, Chicago, or Austin, it's mine.
How did you lose them?
So the Force is double wide and clips on like this, and it's quite a bit heavier. It has steel in it, while this is extremely light and rubbery. And only 2 little clicks to make that thing stick.
Right.
Falls right off. You put your hands in your pockets, you put your coat on. So it would almost always fall off, like while putting my coat on in the subway.
So for every time you've lost one, it's fallen off you, what, 10, 20 times?
Oh, yeah. And I even had once in Austin where it fell off me in a bathroom. I had to run back, pick it up in the bathroom, and then dip the thing in Purell. But I like them, and I think we all like them, because they are the beginning of the quantified life. We had a Chris Dancy on, who's the most quantified man, keeping track of all these bits of information. But think about this. This is an entire new industry based on pedometers.
Right.
Smart pedometer.
Yeah, elevating the pedometer.
Yeah, it's elevated the pedometer to the point of like, oh, I need to have this. It's going to tell me all sorts of bits of information, which I, as a diabetic, find funny, because I have spent 20 years plugged into devices that give me a biofeedback loop.
Yep.
Like, how am I doing? I don't know how I'm doing. Let me check this device. Oh, that's how I'm doing. Now I will change my behavior. Like,
I have spent a day with you in Copenhagen chasing your blood sugar, right?
Like, actually, you did.
Yeah, and that was a tough day for you. For me, it was inspiring. It was challenging, and there was a time when I had to go get you orange juice right now.
Yeah, I remember that. But that's every day for me, right?
Yeah.
So, fast forward a year, which in internet years is like 10 years. Fitbits are smart pedometers. And this watch, the first thing I noticed when they were doing the little thing, when they were moving the watch around in the beginning, before they said a word, I was like, oh, look at that. That's a sensor on the back.
Set of sensors in the back, yeah.
Got a convex sensor that it's clear that it puts pressure on the back of the arm. So you've got radial pulse, I'm presuming.
Yep.
Temperature maybe? They didn't say, I'm guessing.
They didn't say. They only said pulse. But there's no reason it shouldn't be able to measure blood pressure, but maybe that's, you know, watch two.
Unclear if it has its own motion coprocessor, and the phone does too. So it knows what direction you're moving. It knows about.
Right. Well, and they talked about that purely in the context of the phone. And I noticed accelerometer and barometer. Those are 2 ingredients from the Fitbit, so that you can really figure out stairs. You need the barometer for that. And then tying in the GPS and so forth to figure out how far you're actually moving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole running in place on the escalator is not going to work anymore.
Exactly. For this is a smaller, less intrusive screen that's going to be on my arm.
Yeah.
It's a watch companion, but they respected the fact that a good-looking watch is a good-looking watch. And why would I? And so many people were like, "Why would I wear a watch? I have a watch. Don't you have a phone?" That was literally someone tweeted to me, "Do you have a watch? Don't you have a phone?" Like young people.
Yeah.
That's their.
And I'm there, right? I haven't put anything on my wrists in years because I don't like having stuff on my wrists. I prefer that my phone is my watch. That's how I think.
Mm-hmm. But I enjoy the accessorizing. Now, of course, I'm t-shirt and jeans today, but
yeah.
The average man does not get a lot of accessorizing, you know, other than the bro puka shell necklace. There's not a lot I can do.
Wedding band, that's about it.
You know, I can't wear big hoop earrings anymore. I can't, there's only so much you can do. A couple bracelets, necklace, maybe. That's about it. I think a watch, cufflinks, tie pin, those are accessories. I enjoy accessorizing. I like literally picking a watch to match my shoes if I'm dressing up. I think of a watch as an adornment that is something that happens to tell the time. And I think that a lot of fans who like watches like automatic watches. They like the engineering. It is a piece of mechanical engineering on their wrist.
Right. And I have an appreciation for those beautiful mechanics, right? And when I see people who are passionate about watches, it's not a quartz Timex, you know? It's not just, I need something to tell the time. It is the elegance of all of that moving hardware with sapphire bearings that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. One of the great things about a watch like this has got a quartz battery, and this thing runs for ever. I mean, I've had this watch for 2 years. Most non-automatic watches will run for 2 years. If you have a watch winder or you wear a watch every day, you don't even think about it, right?
Yeah.
They didn't say much about battery life on this watch.
No,
some people are speculating. They're speculating it's kinetic, which would be like a digital automatic.
Well, they did show the charging plate was a magnetic clip-in field effect charger.
The implication was you charge it every day.
Right.
What does that mean, though, right? I mean, if I wake up at 8 and go to bed at midnight,
Is that thing going to make it? Well, and notice they also were very emphasizing that the screen is off until you raise it up,
which
that's the biggest power consumer.
People have tried to do that.
Yeah.
Now, the Pebble, I have a Pebble as well, keeps the screen on because it's a low-power screen, and then the light turns on, not on the lifting, but on the flick.
Interesting.
They don't have a sense of the kinetics of it, right? But they know that you accelerated quickly. So if you have a Pebble and you're in the movie theater, you just go like that and shake it, and it'll light up. It really depends on how well that works. And I think I would remind us of the time when we could hold the phone up to our ear. Remember, that was a big deal during the first iPhone coming out. Like, hey, it dims the screen when you...
When it's up at your face.
Your ear. And there was a time there when it was like, what? Remember, they had to adjust that technology?
Yes.
They had to adjust those sensors. If they can really make it where the thing feels always on, like I don't want to see it.
You don't want to see it power up. It's got to be on when it gets to you. But that's the big... Then that screen's probably the number one power consumer, right? Because they clearly have eliminated all the extra antennas. It communicates only with an iPhone. It's probably low power Bluetooth, if I had to guess. And that's going to save a lot of power.
I hope so.
So, you know, that has the best chance. What about the whole haptic bit? The fact that your phone vibrates politely to you.
Well, they call it taptic.
Taptic, yes.
Haptic feedback is almost always a small motor that vibrates.
Yep.
That gives you the kinetic energy to go and give a little rotational inertia, and then, you know, it reminds you. Mm-hmm. They implied that it's a combination of a motor and a speaker. Like, maybe they're going to give you the sense of a vibration or a heads up by sending a tone through a speaker that's maybe not audible, but enough to make the speaker vibrate, which I think also speaks to a focus on power consumption.
And I agree with you there. They also made the point of only you will notice it, that it was private.
Yeah.
And now we get to the creepy part of that, which was the heartbeat.
The intimacy thing, which was weird.
That was creepy. And of course, the wife was next to me watching the thing as well. And I said, oh, look, we can both get one of these watches and then you could feel my heartbeat. And she's like, yeah, that's pretty creepy. And that
was that. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we're just two random old married guys.
Yeah.
If other people think that's cute, it is very conceivable that someone who's 19 in the early parts of a relationship would think that that is absolutely adorable. So
yes, with their $600 phone and their $400 watch. That's a teenager.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point. Funny comment also, Bill Simser just made a comment on Twitter here. He said, oh, look, a live streaming session that actually works.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yes, somebody at Akamai is going to get into trouble for that. I watched Stanfield tweeting about this whole thing. And if anybody knows what's going wrong with the streaming system, it's him. He's done everything and handled some of the largest stream problems ever. So he accused Akamai, and I'm just going to go with that. Halfway through, that half hour in, when they got rid of the Mandarin lady, the stream started working reliably. So it's like somebody woke up, went, oh, we're on, and fixed stuff.
Streaming is hard.
Without a doubt.
At the same time, it also speaks to the amount of interest. I mean, we can pick on them for streaming, but certainly they were being slammed, which is non-trivial. Now, of course, they had U2 at the end of their presentation. And
yeah.
We have no one.
No, we have no one. We could play a little Carl Franklin as an outro if you want, because I'm sure he'd approve that. We could probably bet on a license.
Probably
of that
do that. Maybe a little Nickelback.
Oh, jeez. Apple Pay?
Yeah, so Apple Pay was an interesting one to me. There's a drive-thru that I go through, and I forgive me for eating fast food occasionally. And hanging off of that drive-thru as I drive through is this touch pay system that appears abandoned. Like, only in America we install 200,000 NFC touch-to-pay systems, and they are literally derelict. Have you ever in America, on the West Coast, or again, you're Canadian, Canada?
Nice.
Anyone? You guys have? Do you have like better payment systems? Because we are the only country in the world that doesn't have chip and PIN at this point.
Yeah. Well, we're pretty much all chip and PIN now in Canada. The only place that I see touch pay used routinely is certain gas stations. Instead of the gas card, they give you a little fob for your keychain, and that's what you touch and pay with. But that's pretty much the only place I see Touch and Pay being used on any regular of a basis.
I have never used Touch and Pay ever. I have no cards that can use it. I am Magstripe all the way.
Now,
that said, apparently these are all over and we're just not using them. They're
literally So maybe he's bringing it to life. And I appreciate that Apple signed Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Okay, so there's the big three. That's great. And I noticed they didn't emphasize it, but noticed that when you paid with your phone, you used that thumb sensor, the fingerprint sensor. So there was a sense of it had to be you using the phone.
Which I appreciate. So you've got a pin to unlock, you've got the touch ID, magical crypto, and then NFC. I think it's disappointing, though, that the existing NFC devices don't have this.
Right. Well, and I think these are sort of basics that must be there. But then he spoiled the whole thing at the very end by saying, oh, look, and you could do it with the watch, and stuck the watch in the machine and it worked too. And like, where's the fingerprint sensor on that, kids?
So that was a little creepy. Presumably something that you could set, and also presumes that the phone is nearby.
Well, and obviously the watch requires the phone. So, but the whole point is you don't want to take the phone out. Is that something you activate? It sounds like it's going to be awkward.
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing that is a little awkward. There were some jokes about, you know, well, does Apple take 30% of everything that you buy?
Yeah.
What's really interesting, though, is it's unfortunate that they don't announce an open standard and say, here, we are the first implementation of this open standard.
Yes.
Instead, they called it Apple Pay, right?
Yep.
If Microsoft came up with Microsoft Pay, they would be destroyed and no one would think it was okay.
Can we start with the fact that the stream only worked on Safari?
Well, that's obviously just an exclusivity thing. There's no technical reason that they had to do that. That was just because, hey, it's a club.
Yes.
But that said, by calling it Apple Pay, I feel it's a little bit too exclusive, a bit less inclusive.
Yes.
But I think just as Touch ID was the iPhone 5S's claim to fame, here's a unique feature that upscale people who have lots of money to toss a phone every year or two have. You know, this is the Apple Pay is that feature as well. The question is, though, they're taking the watch support all the way down level.
Yep.
You ready for this? All the way down to the 4S. Does that mean if I buy the watch, Can I Apple Pay with the watch and the 4S is nearby?
If the watch has
NFC.
Right, but the Apple Pay said only down to the 5s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So guess who's driving who here?
Don't know. Now, on Twitter here, Stacey O'Dell brings up a very good point because I am nothing if not non-denominational. I want to make sure that everyone agrees.
You just want excuses for toys, I think.
I just want to make sure that no one thinks that I am in any way device discriminatory.
No, you want everything.
So he said, what about Android Wear?
Right.
Well, so here is the Samsung Gear
mm-hmm.
and the Samsung Gear 2.
Nice.
Which were followed by another 12 Samsung devices that were announced within hours of each other. These are not mine. I didn't buy these. These were given to me as a what I call a review gift
by
my buddy Bob Somerville, and he just said, "Hey, let me loan you my Androids, my Android Wears.
Take these out for a spin, see what you think."
No, exactly. You can review them. So this is the Gear and the Gear 2. These watches both have the problem of they scream, "I'm a watch on your wrist."
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the Gear 2. Booting up here, and then here is a Gold Galaxy S3. So just as these guys, Android, were basically have been argued, it's kind of a lock-in thing, you know, it's Android and Android, I don't know if I want to do that.
Right.
When, like, no one seemed to say that about the iPhone. Like,
well, I think it's presumed it's going to be all Apple.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that it's all Apple.
But
and it's not that it's all Android even, that's all Samsung.
Even worse.
Right.
And here's the thing. If I'm already, and again, this is America specific, so I don't mean to be overly ethnocentric here, but I'm locked into AT&T.
Right.
Like, you know, when my first child was born, they got a piece of him. I can never get away from them.
They've got you.
Certainly not if I want a new phone. You, right. On the other hand, don't have that problem.
No, I've got Rogers. Rogers is the AT&T equivalent. Oh, I fight it.
But you can't just buy a SIM anywhere and plug in elsewhere?
So I've taken the time to try and get phones that aren't locked so that I can get local SIMs when I want. But that is not what my carrier wants me to do. Rogers is just the polite version of AT&T because it's Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. So this was booted up here, and let me get that to focus in just a second here. Come on, focus. Getting a webcam to focus is actually the next big problem to solve. Notice how the light just went out there.
Right. Well, and that little subtle poke that Apple had about their focusing system in their phone was interesting because it is dealing with exactly that issue.
Yeah, focusing is definitely a problem. But does this mean that I'm now locked in even more than I'm already locked in? Like sometimes people say, "Hey, Scott, why don't you have a Windows phone?" Well, you know, I have one. I use it sometimes, but I started early.
Right.
All these companies want to get you early. They want to get you early and stick you in. So it's like suddenly I'm going to have a fitness tracker / watch and Apple Pay and this. They know an awful lot about me.
Sure.
I've always liked to mix it up. I have an iPhone. I have a Surface. I have a PlayStation. You know, I just like, I feel like if I get a little of everything, then I don't have to feel like I've bought into an entire ecosystem. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the fact that my Fitbit syncs with my Android phone and with my Windows phone. And so, you know, you feel like you've got, you know, the one is just in my pocket. I don't even want to touch it, right? It's just that I pull up my phone to read the data off of it and keep going. That's what I want. And in reality, you know, we still are dealing with lock-in. Where did you buy your music? Because it isn't moving to the other platforms.
Yep.
You know, that is always the battle with those things.
Well, and what about you know, kind of lesser known phones that aren't launching big in the Western world, like the Firefox phones? You know, those phones are very inexpensive. You can get them for $99 or less, unlocked. They're all open this and open that. They're all you just use JavaScript and HTML. They are run by Mozilla, but they're open phones. Should we be complaining so much about these walled gardens?
I think so. I think we are generally trying to press against walled gardens as a whole because they don't necessarily serve us well. You know, my reaction to looking at Apple is not that I want to run out and buy Apple gear. It's like, okay, well, there's the new high bar for the open standards folks to reach to, you know, and once again, Apple's done the brilliant thing in the sense of, if you're going to build a watch, it's not just a watch that talks to your phone, but it's also got all of the fitness sensors in it. And it's got a really distinctive, intelligent UI. We're not just sticking with touch. You know, that's, I think what Apple's done well is taking all of these different ingredients and combining them in a way to make a far more refined product in exchange for the fact that, you know, they live in their walled garden. They're not going to do anything else. But once that bar has been set, it can be chased by others.
So Google has Nest. They yes. have a thermostat. They have a smoke detector.
Mm-hmm.
Fitbit works great, and it links to everything. Fitbit's everywhere. It's non-denominational.
Yes.
Does Microsoft come out with a watch or a band or a Fitbit or something like a wearable of some kind? And if so, does that work everywhere? Or does that only work on Microsoft?
Yeah, I don't know that they can add anything to the equation here. You know, I think Apple held back their watch until it genuinely added to the equation that it was something new. So,
and you think it's the fitness aspect that makes their watch different?
I think so. Yeah, and the UI that they've actually developed an original UI.
I found the term digital crown to be a little annoying about the 16th time that they said it. It's like, I get it. It's a knob.
It's a knob. You put a knob back on the knob's back. Thanks.
They invented VoIP today. NFC today. They invented digital payments today, and they invented digital watches, which is kind of cool.
Yep. Well, the Wi-Fi to cell thing clearly is carrier specific. There has to be some kind of carrier handshake to make that work. So,
well, I was talking about that on Twitter, that I look forward to AT&T supporting Wi-Fi calling in 2025.
Nice.
That's true. So in conclusion, let's just review sizing. Here's our iPhone 5. Here's our iPhone 6.
Yes.
Thank you, Ars Technica, for these templates. Here's our iPhone 6 Plus. Now, putting these, stacking them, and then bringing in the beast.
Yep.
There is a 1520. So that's a Nokia 1520, which is really about, I would say, a half an inch or a third of an inch difference. So if you want to see what an iPhone 6 Plus feels like, I suspect it's going to feel something like this.
Like the 1520.
Like the 1520. Just a hair on the edges around. It's going to be
smaller.
Really interesting if that's the size, because I don't know if I want it up by my face like that.
Yeah. No, that phone's finally big enough that it looks douchier to have that phone to your face than have a Bluetooth headset on.
It's,
yeah.
You know, these are big phones, but
yeah,
these are phablets. It's going to be really interesting to see how they manage, how many of these they make, right? They're really going to have to decide what the inventory is going to be like and who's going to buy these phones.
Well, and they're supposed to be on sale in 10 days, so they've already decided.
Wow, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah, they've made them. They're in boxes somewhere.
What is your go-to phone right now?
My 925, the Nokia. I think it's the best of those phones so far.
Well, I would encourage people who are thinking about these kind of things, when you buy a phone, what a great idea. Thank you, Ars Technica. Make cutouts. Go and try all the different ones. Feel them out. See if this is, you know, does your thumb fit into the upper corner?
Yeah, can you reach across?
Hey, man. Let me tell you, if you're on the toilet and you've got one hand and you can't get the upper left corner, you're pretty much screwed.
You know, I've taken it upon myself to leave my phone in my pocket on the toilet.
You're the only person in America? Or
apparently, I'm it. Yeah, I'm the only guy. It's like, you know what? There's nothing happening in that bathroom that is more important, it needs to be interrupted by a phone. I need to finish. Then we'll deal with that.
Thank you so much, Richard Campbell.
I love these things, Matt. It's sort of so spontaneous, but, you know, good stuff. And this is the conversation I would have had with you one way or the other.
This is what's great. And this is why Hansel Minutia,
yes,
Campbell editions of Hansel Minutes exists, is that we have these conversations anyway.
Yes, we do.
Why not just stream them to the goodly people who like them? If you liked this, if you found this to be even remotely useful, Richard and I can probably do them regularly. This is the first or second one we've done on Google Hangouts. I'm not sure if there's any value in doing them in video. So if you're listening on audio, there's a video version. And if you enjoyed the video version, let us know, and maybe we'll do more.
We can make some more.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.